Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this has been quite a week for the residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan. We have passed out over 300 water filters to the community. Not only that, we have put on 10 for people who could not put them on. We passed out over 2,000 masks for the people.
Here's what I found on the web.
We were definitely on top of it. I tell you. It was so amazing. Just the thought of the work that we're doing today is just too amazing for most people to understand. We're out here. But we have some bad news. They are planning on opening up a national action network here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. I say no. And my logic is simple. They don't do anything. All they do is want you to pay money. That's what they do. They want you to pay money with no action. And the reason I say that, because that's what they do all around the country. When I was in New York, I had the opportunity to go to the headquarters, which was just a storefront, and didn't like what I saw. Didn't like what they do in New York. If you talk to most people in New York, they don't like, they call them NAN, N-A-N. The simple reason is they just don't do anything for the people. And I believe it's all about the people. Whatever it is, it's about the people. You see, because if we got an issue right now with the courthouse here. You know, and one of the things that have came about, some of our white friends, our white neighbors, have stepped forward and decided that this stuff is true. That racism actually exists inside the courtroom, which they didn't have to tell me. I knew. But unfortunately, a lot of people do not get involved until something happens to them or their loved ones. Then they want to get involved. It's too late. You're dealing with a court system that was built on racism, you see. And now what you want to do, you want to fight them. You can't fight them by yourself. Stop trying to fight these evil, wicked people by yourself. That do not work. Because they're organized, and they're organized against you. When I went to trial, we had an all-white jury, which you anticipate. If you're black, they try to get you off the jury because of a reason unknown. They believe that black people will vote in favor of a black person. We believe a white person will vote in favor of the prosecutor and the judge. And that reason is simple. They believe each other, even though that I know for a fact law enforcement lies. They're liars. And that's really how I got into court watching. I used to go over to the courthouse so I could listen to these white officers just come to court and laugh for no reason. They're going to find you guilty anyway, regardless what you did or what you said, whether you did it or not, you was going to be found guilty. In my 25 years of court watching, I only saw one person that was found not guilty. One. They had this guy named Ernest White. He's deceased now. For 25 years, he was an attorney. Never won a case. I can imagine his family, because of how they looked at him. never, ever won a case. In the 90s, in the early 2000s, I don't think one court-appointed attorney won a case. I don't know. They may have, but I have not witnessed it. But I'm saying this to say that you're going around and we're talking about Black Lives Matter. You got to deal with this court system. Until we're able to deal with this corrupt, racist court system, we're never going to get healed. Because there's more people in prison today who did not commit the crime than ever before. We have one of the most racist prosecutors in the nation, Michael Seven. We have some of the most racist judges in the nation. You got Schofield is gone. You got Charles Lasada. You got Dennis Wiley. He's the number one racist guy. Sterling Sharrock. You got Angela Basula. You got, you know, they're lined up because this is the way they grew up to be. You know, they probably was born racist, you know. But it's unfortunate, you know, that things have to be this way. But any time that you go to court, you're jeopardizing yourself because you got almost a 99.9% chance, if you're Black, of being convicted. That's right, 99.9% chance of being convicted if you're Black, whether you did it or not. Like they told me, we don't need evidence. Or the prosecutor told the jury, you don't need evidence to find this man guilty. And whatever you say is going to be final. He said, whatever you say is going to be final. But he didn't realize that I would be appealing it not only to the Court of Appeal, but also to the Supreme Court. And fortunate for me that the Supreme Court ruled in my favor. You see, that was after I had completed 30 months in prison. But this is what they do. And here's something I believe. With this government and the way it's designed and what they do, I don't believe there's ever going to be a change without a conflict. And it's going to be casualties. There's casualties today. I do not believe for one second that that there could be a change without a conflict. I don't believe that you could sit down at the table and these guys have given up their power to be honest and fair. If they have never been honest and fair in their whole life, why would all of a sudden now they want to be fair? I don't get that. My mind can't compute that. You're dealing with bad people. Bad people do bad things. That's their history. And you could talk all day, it don't mean a thing. Because this is just the way it is. We're living in a time where we have to fight everything. And I want to say this to my TI family. You know, there's strength in numbers. And those of you who don't believe that your government will use mind control on the individual, you're mistaken. They will do anything. They will kill you. Yes, they will. And blame it on somebody else. Send somebody else to prison for what they did. This is the type of stuff that happens today, whether we like it or not. We are in a fight for our life. We cannot continue to think for one second that they are going to do the right thing. That is not going to happen. You can't depend on them to do the right thing because they're not. Law enforcement is designed to do exactly what it do. kill people and get away with it. That's right. Kill people and get away with it. Because we're law enforcement. If I shoot you in the back, it's justifiable homicide. Justifiable homicide. You was running away from me. No gun, no nothing. And here's something a lot of people don't know. They put guns on people. They usually carry a spare gun in their boot. That's right. These cops do. They carry spare guns. So if nobody's watching, they might drop a gun and claim this person had a gun. Just the history of law enforcement. Until the people start shooting back, this stuff going to continue. They pull you over, start shooting. Don't even wait. Pull you over, start shooting. We're living in a time now where there is no justice for the people. And there never, ever will be, never will be any change without a conflict. Never. This is the society that we live in. Now, we got some good people, a lot of good people in law enforcement, but we got a lot of bad people. And the bad people overpower the good people in law enforcement because they got what they call a blue code. You see, your job, if I go out and shoot somebody, you ought to lie for me and say that this my life was in jeopardy. I fear for my life. That's why I had to shoot him. And you also have to say pretty much the same thing. Usually what they write, when they write all these false police reports, they're pretty much the same thing because nobody really holds them accountable. You see, viable homicide. That's the term they use. Every single time they shoot and kill somebody, and they all work together. So you have to make that decision, you see. You have to make that decision. Because I tell you, this is a tough world we're living in. And there never, ever will be justice for us unless we're able to take it. If you can't take it, we'll never get it. I want to say to my good friend, Ms. Johnson, we are at war, and we have to figure out a way how we can get justice for your son. We can do it. We can do it, but it's going to take an attorney who knows what to do. My good friend Belinda Parker Brown said that she had an attorney for you, and she was trying to get in touch with you. I texted her your number to her. She should be calling you. But I want to say to all my TIs and my TI family, we are at war. Get yourself prepared for it. They're coming. They're using microwave, every kind of the lasers, everything they do to control your mind. They're here. But let's continue to fight. If you don't fight, you can't win. So listen, I'm going to bring in my first guest from sunny Texas, former Wolverine. No. It was Wolverine Spartan. I think he went to Michigan State. Well, Michigan State, but he's there. My good friend, how you doing today? Talk to me.
Oh, thank you very much for allowing me, sir, and for being an angel. Basically, I'm going to detail two flyers that explain the atrocities being committed against innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims under fabricated excuses on national security and to benefit the $1 trillion wireless industrial complex.
Okay.
Evidence on the record proves how government-sponsored bullying is provoking children, the disabled, and others to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify, under the Patriot Act, the use of massive and harmful military-grade directed satellite surveillance on schools and even on homes, and to benefit the trillion-dollar wireless industrial complex. These are the same horrifying radiation technologies and use under fabricated excuses on national security to maim and torture innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, even in the privacy of their homes. This is electronic lynchings under the fabricated excuse on national security. This is an open request for recusal from the Patrick Crucius case to John Bash, the U.S. attorney from the Western District of Texas. Mr. Patrick Crucius, it is a young person with a mental disability accused of a mass shooting. And I'm asking Mr. Bash his recusal from the Patrick Crucius case on the ground that evidence on the record shows his participation with the U.S. attorney from the Southern District of Texas, with the FBI special agent in charge in San Antonio, Texas, with the governor of Texas, with the Texas Attorney General, with the director of the Texas Rangers, with the Hidalgo County Criminal District Attorney, and with members of the judiciary and others on the attempts to conceal that government-sponsored bullying is provoking children and the disabled to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify the massive and harmful military-grade direct radiation surveillance of schools and even of homes, and to benefit the trillion-dollar wireless industrial complex on the ground that you fail to investigate and prosecute the government-sponsored bullies that are provoking terrorism, and on the ground that bringing the bullies and their sponsors to justice is necessary to prevent more tragedies against children, the disabled, and against other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, as detailed on the relevant and material evidence to the Patrick Crucius case submitted to your office, and on the petition to impeach three federal judges, and other criminal complaints submitted to federal authorities and posted on the case law section of wirelesswatchblog.org. I'm just going to detail very briefly. A flyer title is Greg Abbott, entitled to be governor of Texas. Evidence on the record proves the collusion of Greg Abbott with federal and state agents and prosecutors and with members of the judiciary to conceal that a massive medical malpractice and a massive Medicaid and Medicare fraud are in use to conceal that the harmful military-grade wireless microwave technologies and directed radiation surveillance used in schools are maiming and torturing children and teachers to death, to conceal that government-sponsored bullying is provoking children and the disabled to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism, to justify under the Patriot Act the massive and harmful military-grade directed radiation satellite surveillance of schools and homes, to conceal that government-sponsored bullying and harmful directed radiation satellite surveillance are in use to maim and torture to death those who denounce government corruption and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, and even in the privacy of their homes, and to conceal that under fabricated excuses on national security, the future of our children and the future of our country and our national security are being sold to the trillion-dollar wireless industrial complex, as detailed on the filings that I explained before. I am willing to testify before any legislature or court of law to the atrocities being committed against children and against the disabled and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims by phone help permitting. Now, if anybody has any doubts about the truthfulness of these statements, all they have to do is call the governor of Texas, Mr. Abbott, and ask him if what I'm saying, if what Jesus Mendoza is saying is true, and he has any integrity left on him, he's going to tell you that this is based on fact. Sir, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Very good. But let me ask you, so you said that we can call the governor and or call his office. You probably won't talk directly to him. But you said that we can call his office and ask him about this document that you're talking about? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yeah, all you have to do is, you know, you can say, okay, we want to know if what Jesus Mendoza is telling about you, it is true, and that's enough. He has to respond and to tell you if what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
what I've been claiming, it is based on fact or not. It is so easy.
Mm. And you have that flyer, right, that you're going to send to me? Can you send that to me by my email?
Oh, of course. Yes, sir.
Okay, you got my email, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what I want to do, I want you to send it to me, and I'm going to call them tomorrow. And then what we're going to do, I'm going to have you come next week so you can hear the answer I received from them. Because I believe that this is very, very important to let them know that there's somebody out here who actually believe that they're doing these things. Because there's a lot of people who don't believe that this is happening. But what we got to do, our job is to make sure that we stay together. And we can show them the strength that we have by sticking together, because this is what they do not want. They do not want us to stay together, be together, and stay together, because then it's defeating what they're trying to do, because they want people to think that everybody that they claim to be a T.I. is not a T.I. They just crazy. That's what they want you to believe. But with this information, I promise you I'm going to call them next week, at the beginning of this week, first chance I get. And that way when you come on next week, I can get a chance to smoke. Don't forget to email me that. But before you leave, there's one other thing I want to know. When you went to the University of Michigan, or did you go to the Michigan State? Which one?
It was the Thomas M. Cooley Law School in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, that's okay. Michigan State then, okay. In Lansing.
Now it is called Southern Cooley University. They changed the name. Southern Cooley University.
Okay.
Oh, no,
okay.
Western. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Western. Cooley University. And let me tell you, when Mr. Abbott, he has been caught with his hands on the cookie jar, on the federal record, committing these atrocities. We are not dealing mm-hmm. with allegations. We are dealing with a specific, concrete, and undisputed evidence on the federal and the state record.
Hmm. So, I truly, truly believe that, because I don't know Mr. Abbott personally, but I have saw him on TV several times, and he seemed to be a very untruthful person, if you ask me.
Well, I think he's the most evil person that I have ever met, you know, but there may be others. But, I feel sorry for him. I don't
mm-hmm.
feel any hatred. I don't feel any
right.
animosity or vengeful thoughts. I feel sorry for him or for his family, because he disgraced himself on the record. And now
mm-hmm.
we have evidence that he's committing atrocities against children, against the disabled, and against other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims. And only the Lord allowed this to happen, not my merit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And remember, Abbott. He's really what you would call someone who need to really be removed from office.
Yes, we don't need him. Mm-hmm.
No,
we don't need him.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, even a campaign to have him removed, because it was a pretty close race down there in Texas this time around, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Was it a close race when he ran for office, ran for governor in Texas? Was it a close race?
Not really. It wasn't that
mm-hmm.
close, you know. No.
Okay.
It wasn't that close, you know. He is being there because of the money. He goes after the money. Right now he's
mm-hmm.
benefiting. He's committing these atrocities to benefit the $1 trillion wireless industrial complex. That is the
mm-hmm.
main sponsor. Anybody that it is supported by this industry, it is
mm-hmm.
it is bound to stay there forever.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. But listen, you make sure you send me that information, so I can do the work this week and find out, and that way next Sunday when you come on, I can give you an explanation on what they said and what they plan on doing, and also write something that you want me to ask them too. Other than that, maybe you have 3 or 4 questions that you might want me to ask. You could put that in the email also, and when I call, I can ask them that information, and then I can give you a report next Sunday when I talk, when you come on the show. I can do that for you. I think that would be ideal. That way we'll know where we at and how we can do in other states other than just Texas.
Yes, sir. I'll find someone to do it for me because I'm severely disabled. I cannot even use the computer, but I'm going to send it somehow with somebody's help. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Sounds very, very good to me. And listen, you take care of yourself. Stay safe and be aware. Don't think that this virus is a joke or a hoax or nothing like that. This stuff is real. And those who don't want to wear a mask, don't wear one. You know, that's on you. But I wear a mask. I wear a mask because my reason is that I believe that whatever this stuff is, it's designed to kill certain people. And I don't want to be a victim of it. So that's why I wear a mask. I wear a mask to protect you. You know, just in case I might have it, I don't want you to have it. That's why I wear a mask. And on that note, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And don't forget to send me that information, and we will take it from there. How's that for
you? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, for being
here. All right. Thank you, my brother. All right. We got to do some work for him. We got to make sure that we get this thing done. I'm going to bring in my good friend Gloria so she can set the stage for Amy for us. Gloria, are you there? Talk to me. Gloria, are you there? All right, let me move on to Amy. Amy. Amy, talk to me. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Reverend Pinckney? I'm glad you called on me so I can let you know what's going on today with these people. Now, I'm talking about these Illuminati. And I'm just going to be clear about who it is. And what you need to know is the Illuminati code is real. And them people, according to the way I describe what these individuals do to people, they are involved in gemmentria is spelled G-E-M-T-R-I-A. And that is a Hebrew language of a secret coding. And those secret coding, I can't talk much on them, not today, but I will get more in depth with it next week. That the gemmentry code is just like somebody saying the Da Vinci code. And the Da Vinci code, if you know, traces to Roman Empire and secret information of secret chronological orders where people like you and I talk to each other from telephones or face-to-face. Well, these not the people that the targeted individuals have to fight off every day in their lives. And David Briscoe was one of the good activists the way he explained it, because people need to understand this is greater than this coronavirus scam. This is a rollout of a new world order of a depopulation program. It's for the haves and have-nots. And so what we got to do about something about it, we have to stop it. We have to get these people arrested that we get on these calls every Sunday and talk about. We have to come up with a plan of action. And I'm asking you all to join our task force. And not saying you don't have your own task force. Let's bring our task force together. and I'm setting up a conference call myself, and I'll give Reverend Pinckney more information about it. Now, let's get back to the main topic, because, see, I'm learning, talking about black pain if you don't have no black solution. And I do understand mm-hmm. this other races is suffering like black people. However, we at the bottom of the poverty line, and that ain't by no mistake or no accident. And black people, I'm saying to wake up. And reason why I'm saying for us to wake up, to you to wake up, because Reverend Pinckney know the target that I'm woke up, because he know I called him and got his attention and wouldn't leave him alone. And Reverend Pinckney say, what is this black woman you got to want with me? Do you know I'm an activist? I say, yeah, you the right person. I need you, Reverend Pinckney, and I'll call him today, and he'll tell you. He even say, you going to be on the show? I say, yeah, I'm going to be on the show. I said, Reverend Pinckney, you need to cut that out with your showing out, because you, Reverend Pinckney, you know what's going on, and you will help your people, but you will also help other races. And I want to make that clear. Reverend Pinckney is a black man, powerful, lend himself to other races while before that he helped his own people. So why he can help the other races, black people, reach out to Reverend Pinckney. Help him all you can, because he helping us and he helping a targeted individual, and a lot of you all don't understand it. And Reverend Pinckney saying, wait a minute, I'm getting ready to make this part of the show. So you all need to help reach out and help the targeted individual too, because then this going to show y'all a part of what y'all fighting. It was, if y'all know what this fight is, y'all know why y'all had y'all fights. So let me read some paperwork today about government mass mind controls. And if you say you are an American, you are not exempt. And I want to let you all know that Reverend Pinckney is the right person gonna help us with other people, including ourselves, to get ourselves up out of these mind control, genealogy, ancestry genealogy, secret bloodline that you don't even know that somebody know your bloodline is so rare, your ancestry genealogy is so rare, it is so defined, the divine. Well, they want your ancestor genealogy, but they don't want it for your sake of you. They want it to use it to exploit it for something they need better than gold or any silver or any raw material in the world. That black ancestry genealogy is like somebody done struck the gold, the minefield, and all of the oil shot up out of the ground, and everybody come a running. That's how it is with the black man and woman today. And let me tell you why I know that. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Well, why you keep killing us? Black lives matter. Black lives matter. And here I'm a targeted individual. So let me move smoothly on, because the Reverend Pinckney, you know, I normally be all over the place fighting for my mind, but today I focus on landing the plane on what's going on and giving you a greater perception of where I always been getting on this show and fighting, and letting you know I am a targeted individual. I don't have to allow the United States government, when I say they've been hacking on my mother body, doing things in my mother body and the father body generations. Look, we know that we had this so-called slavery, but I'm going to have Reverend Pinckney have Mrs. Johnson, Denise Johnson, come on the phone and give us a little education too, that she know that we all black people ain't always, all of us ain't always been enslaved. That was a part of hypocrisy. That was a part of a way to bring, that was part of democratical oath of this demonology of this Illuminati, of this Freemasonry chronological order, of a secret order, of a secret court they call FISA court. look, FISA court up. It's a court that you get convicted by birth, and they watch you, they spy on you, and they have your phone tag, and they did Martin Luther King like that. They did all the civil rights leaders like that. Even Malcolm X, they did even Marcus Garvey like that. They sent him back. He died over there without a – he had a mission, but he's still not forgotten, but the mission Marcus Garvey had, he should have still been able to get his people where he wanted them to, because certain of them did, I believe, got picked up over there from Africa. But I believe the story got stretched so much, we done lost our mind as black people and believe everything in them history books. So let me move on and read this here about this here plot on our lives and let you black people know it's not just you black people, it's our black people. It is white people, is Asian people, is Mexican people, is Chinese, is Indian people, is all the creeds in the world. But it's something about they want to take the black people out because they think that black people is so poor where they don't have no sense to wake up to know there's somebody after them. So why not take them out if they the last one on the poverty list? And let's take them out first. This is these people with wicked thoughts, and this is why they're using this mind control, this technology, this microwaving, this burning, this torturing, this tormenting the people's bodies, shrinking it down, burning the brain, having your brain waves just going up and down and tormenting you where you have to fight for your own sanity dealing with some psychopaths. Now, mass mind control from Paul Walker. And it came from pjw56@hotmail.com 222 hot http www.rinse.com. And that's where you can pick up your government mind control patents, government patents off of rinse.com. And we'll talk about that later. But anyway, these are the facts I'm speaking about. Dr. Jose Delgado. We're going to bring David Briscoe back on the phone, and he's going to talk about Dr. Jose Delgado. Now, Dr. Jose Delgado talked to the United States Congress, and when he talked to them, this is what they both agreed to do. The Congress said to them that they wanted to have control over everybody's mind, and they wanted even the control over the military mind. And from them wanting to control the mind over the military and the people, that told you that they was planning on doing some type of takeover, and this was in 1974. So for somebody to want to do a takeover in 1974, they already had a plan before 1974. And 1974, this wasn't, it didn't come overnight. It had to come with the dates, naturally dates we look for to come. But somebody else had a plan and something in place of a hidden agenda that we now on the phone talking about. So this is what Dr. Jose Delgado said in 1974 on February the 24th. He said, Dr. Jose Delgado, this is what he said, Dr. Director of Neuropsychiatry, Yale University Medical School. Dr. Jose Delgado began his investigation into electrically stimulating pain and pleasure in Spain during the 1930s. He later became a director of a neuropsychiatry at Yale University Medical School. Now, stop right there. Anybody have a problem with their nerves and seen a neuropsychiatrist and neuroscientist and a doctor that specializes in that? Well, is somewhere at the highest connected to this. Now let me move on and finish reading. After this was established in 1930s, he later became a director of neuropsychiatry at the Yale University Medical School, where he refined the design of his remote-controlled transdermal, that's under the skin, stimulator. That's why T.I.'s be talking about their body be hurting and aching. Dr. Delgado discovered that a whole range of emotions and behaviors can be electrically orchestrated in humans and non-humans, animals alike. Can you imagine somebody doing a switch and making you act like an animal because they discovered a certain frequency that is government patents could alter your mind over the radio bandwidth and straight into your home? Let me move on. That's why these musicians, these Illuminatis, don't want to expose why they are part of this CIA mind control, because they use the music and challenge the people's brainwaves. The individuals had no capacity to resist, because everybody loves music. Such control is stimulated. And then you smoking weed in the car, jamming, and you young, and somebody send a signal to you and say, hey, you better go over there and murder that nigga right now. Then the youngster wake up in prison, don't know how he got there. Okay, Dr. Delgado had great faith in his technology. In one famous experiment conducted in Spain, Dr. Delgado confronted and charged a 100-pound bull as the horn animal lunged toward him aggressively. Dr. Delgado used a radio signal to activate an electro implanted deep into the bull's brain. The bull was brought into a halt at Delgado's feet. What we telling y'all better know that this technology can bring everybody to a halt. Well, y'all can't move, y'all can be paralyzed, and y'all keep playing with us as targeted individuals, telling all of y'all that we understand y'all fight. But y'all better know this technology can do these things. I'm reading it to you, and I'm going to make sure Reverend Pinckney put it on the website. Now, let me move on. In the journey into madness, and you hear everybody talking about madness now, the true story of a secret CIA mind control and medical abuse of BANTAM Books, 1989. Gordon Thomas, the former BBC producer, foreign correspondent, and investigative journalist, relates how Dr. Golub and Behavioral of ORD, Office of Research and Development of the CIA Central Intelligence Agency, shared Dr. Jose Delgado's views that the date must come when the technique will be perfected, more making not only animals but humans respond to electrically transmitted signals. Like Dr. Delgado, Yale University, the neurosurgeon, Dr. Health of Tulane, T-U-L-A-N-E, Tulane University, concluded that ESB, electronic stimulation of the brain, could control memory. What is your memory? Ain't it, the word computer have memory? We have memory. Y'all, let's come on, let's wake up now. Impulses, feelings, and could evoke hallucination. Why is these psychiatrists on the scene and everybody crazy on TV that's supposed to do something that they had a trigger like a Manchurian candidate? Dave Briscoe gonna cover that too. So going back to evoke hallucination, that means somebody done did what Reverend Pinckney told y'all a week ago. He had to calm me down. And he already told y'all how it worked, so that's what he was talking about, to bring it home. To confirm this Jose Delgado research is real, as well as fear and pleasure. Now, can you imagine it? Don't imagine it, but can you imagine? Somebody got access to your fears and your pleasures because they have a control, gain control over your memory impulse and your feelings to evoke hallucination and pleasure and psychic dreaming while you sleep, tamping with you and you thinking you on a euphoria and had a dream and don't know that somebody got assets at your mind. So I'm going to read this other, and I just want to thank Reverend Pinckney for enjoying and letting me express myself so calmly as possible. Because if I get all over the place, I want y'all to know it's this technology, because it's not designed for me to make you help you understand or encourage you to understand. It's designed for you to say that lady is all over the place, but I'm reading research came from the university, and who is who now? So we'll take it from there. Now, Office of the City Council, this is what Reverend Pinckney always tell y'all about the city officials of Richmond. On April the 24th, 2015, dear targeted individuals, my first concern is for the safety and the well-being of all of our residents. As a city official, I am requested that the other city officials provide moral support to the targeted individual community nationwide. A small group of volunteers, dedicated city residents, and their associates have brought before me troubling information. These individuals have reported the need of support in reducing the stigma placed on them for exposing technology to alter their minds and covertly deem them mentally ill with society at large. Corona, this was way before the corona, wasn't it? 3 years ago, I met Richmond resident Amy Lee Anderson about this matter. Ms. Anderson informed me she was a survivor of those horrible attacks. According to her description, these government patents, technologies, and weapons interfere and disturb the targeted individual's health physically and psychologically by remote transmission. Also was been brought to my attention that many survivors have reached out to the city officials peacefully through numerous avenues of readiness and accountability about these types of horrifying abuses, only to experience dismissal, being stonewalled, mocked, and ignored, or a level of all-out discrimination resulting in these individuals being wrongfully labeled as unstable criminals or troublemakers. I am writing this letter in full support and on behalf of Amy Lee Anderson and other unwitting residents of the Richmond, California, who believes they are unwitting victims. These hostile technologies, as described to me, causes physical, psychological, and sexual trauma, at times unbearable pain to the body, causing undeserved harm. In our city, we put forth our best efforts to listen and respect the voices, wisdom, and experiences of our residents. We will not ignore but support those who suspect they have been exposed to these types of inhumane attacks with the intent to cause them great emotionally and bodily harm. I am encouraged by these citizens who have stood up to protect our residents, and in response to the targeted individuals' concerns, I facilitated a meeting with Captain Mark Gagan from the Richmond Police Department to ensure that the reports from the targeted individuals would be accepted and investigated as any other alleged crime. I would like to encourage other officials at the local, state, and national levels to explore methods to extend the listed courteous fees below to all residents. One, to reduce and eliminate stigmas or wrongly derived labels. And instability against victims of crimes. Two, informing others of any abuses or crimes agents against citizens. Three, to listen and encourage participation from all its residents. 4 means to make these abuses visible and recognized as crimes by local, county, parish, state, and federal legislators and law enforcement alike. Best wishes, all survivors, Javonka Beckles, Richmond City Council member. And that was written in April the 24th, 2015. And I'm still keeping up the fight because one targeted individual lost his life. And so we working on a lawsuit to let these city officials know that you can't just write this type of information and not walk the walk behind it. Thank you
Absolutely.
For allowing me to share that information, Reverend Pinckney.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Your wisdom, your knowledge and references, more people need to know. But let's talk soon. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Ms. Johnson. I have received a lot of calls in reference to you, and I want you to talk to me. And we just might have a lawyer for you. Two people claims that they have communicated with lawyers in reference to you. And we're right there. Ms. Johnson, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. And thank you for standing up for Gregory Johnson, Jr. Reverend Pinckney, I just want to first say, I am no political pawn for no party. Okay?
Amen.
My son did not die for a party.
That's right.
My son was murdered unjustly.
That's right. I believe that.
Okay? I am a mother who's crying out because this affected me like nothing else would ever affect any parent. Okay? I didn't sleep for 6 months after my son died. I have trouble sleeping now. Okay? There was no doctor that I could go to for help except the doctor upstairs. Okay? Whatever you call him, I know who he is.
Yes. Amen.
So, I am not a pawn. I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
My son, Gregory Johnson Jr., was brutally murdered November 22nd, 2008, in the Sigma Chi fraternity house on San Jose State University grounds. The police came to my home and told me that he had killed himself, he hung himself. By the time I got his body home, because that was the only place I was allowed to view his body, because all of this was hidden. It was all of this, and it's still being hidden, of what happened to my son. By the time I got to him to the funeral home, I discovered that he had a crack, a 6-inch long crack on the back of his head, and his neck was broken all the way through, not for hanging. He had no ligature mark. They cracked him in the head, and then they broke his neck. Okay, I've been fighting this case. It'll be 12 years, November 22nd of this year, 2020. It happened November 22nd, 2008, and I've been fighting for it. It'll be 12 years, November 22nd this year, 2020.
Mm.
They are still blocking, trying to do all kinds of things to keep the information from getting out about what happened to my son. They are protecting the murderers, whoever they are. And Reverend Pinckney, I'd like to say something about the court case when I did go to court. If I can.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
We did go to court. And just like you said earlier, it was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The court case was fixed. Decided before we got there. When we came into court, we sat down, and when the judge came in, first 12 people came in and sat in the jury box. This is for a dismissal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sigma Chi Fraternity House had petitioned to dismiss the case because of the statute of limitations. Well, we all know that there is no statute of limitations for murder in the United States. any state. Okay? They came, 12 people came in and sat in the juror's box. We still, to this day, if anybody out there can tell me who they were, because we don't know who these people were. Okay? The state's attorney from Kamala Harris, see, this is why I don't support parties, because they all crooks as far as I'm concerned. From Kamala Harris' office, the state's attorney came in there, and she had no paperwork. She was supposed to have discovery to give to my attorney. She had nothing. The Sigma Chi attorney came in with no paperwork. The case had been decided before we got there. The judge, Judge Cousins, he said that we were, because they had no paperwork, he says, now he's going to play it up some more himself. He says, well, in 3 days, you all come back with the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3 days came and went, and there was no more court case. The next time I heard from my lawyer was 28 days later, before they would have actually had to have a court case. I heard that the case had been dismissed. The judge dismissed the case because of the statute of limitations. And just like I said, they put a statute of limitations on murder, which is against the Constitution. It's against the law.
What happened to the jury?
I don't know who those people were. It should not have been a jury. This was a dismissal hearing. I don't know who they were, Reverend Pinckney.
Wow, that is unusual. Wow. And who was this?
I don't know if it was some kind of ceremony, because they already knew that they were going to throw this case out, even though the judge had paperwork. He knew when he saw this was a murder, he was supposed to deem it a murder, homicide. And he did not. He threw the case out. These cases with these young black men getting killed and shot down in the street, they are planned all the way up to the court, through the court system.
So
ask a mother, how can anyone ask a mother to kill? I choose God. That's who I choose. They murdered my child in that place. I sent him to school. I raised him to go to school. I didn't raise him for murder. They brutally murdered him. He did not crack himself in the back of the head. They have lied for years, and ever since slavery, they have lied about suicide. Just because they say they have to prove a suicide, just like anything else. They withheld all evidence from me of a suicide. You know why? Because they had no evidence of a suicide. They had evidence of murder. They withheld all the pictures. And they planned it right up. My son was brilliant. He came there a scholar, and he was going to graduate as a scholar. He wanted to be a doctor. He was well on his way to being that. How can you ask me? How dare anyone ask me to choose politics over my child? He had a legacy to leave, and now he would have had children. And I have nothing. I have nothing but newspaper articles and pictures that I took.
Wow. Ms. Johnson, I gave a couple of people your phone number. They're going to be calling you. Especially Belinda Parker Brown, she's going to be calling you sometime today, I'm assuming. And see, can we get another lawyer from Florida who want to take a look at your case? So
thank you,
we
Reverend
want to
Houston.
Do that. Yeah, I know. But let's see what we can do. We keep talking, keep putting the word out there, and you know, people are coming, trying to come forward to help. They understand, you know, it's your son. It's hard for them if you never lost a son or something. It's hard to put themselves in your position, but they can understand that, you know, how devastating
come to come
is. Yes.
Yes. Thank you,
yes.
Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
And thank you. And listen, she should be calling you, and I'm gonna make sure she call you and talk with you and see where we can go, okay?
Okay. Okay,
all
thank
right,
you.
Ms. You're welcome. Wow. Those of you who can help Ms. Johnson, please do so. Do what you can. And I got to bring in my good friend from Detroit, Mr. Lee himself, who's going through something that people need to understand in reference to the court and how the court system works. And Mr. Lee can explain it to you. Talk to me, Mr. Lee. Talk to me. Tell us what's going on.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, it's really shocking. Like I said, before the phone went dead on me last week.
Yeah.
The thing is, out of all this time that, you know, this particular guy was on my case, working with them as an informant, one thing I have learned by talking to a lot of people is like, all the people that knew about certain murders that was done, they was, it seemed like as if they was giving him a chance to, hey, you need to get rid of these people, pretty much. So
yeah. Well, that's how they operate.
Grace of God. Huh?
Yeah, that's how they operate. Law enforcement is mostly criminals, most of them. There are very few good ones. Very few. There's some, may be some, but I don't know none. I have never met a good law enforcement agent. I've never met a good judge, a fair, honest judge. I have never met a honest prosecutor. Even these court appointed attorneys, these guys, I never met a good one. I never met someone that is gonna go in the courtroom and do the right thing for the defendant or the person that's been accused of a crime. I have not met one. I can say it honestly today, I have not. And what really got me involved is to go to court and listen to these police officers just lie. I mean, they didn't have to lie. That's the thing. And I know where you
yeah,
at. You're
I mean,
going to court, you're going through some things, and I know it's hell for you because, you know, you're in jeopardy, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without doubt, without doubt, because now, after all of this, and even my attorney will even be able to tell you, like, they knew about murders he was doing.
Yeah.
Swept them under the rug.
Absolutely.
Even when it was brought to their attention. So it's not a situation where they can say, well, we don't know nothing about that, or we didn't know this. No, I have documented proof now that all these murders, y'all knew about it. See, that's the problem right now with my case.
Mm-hmm.
So even when the one brother, Christian Moore, when he was murdered, when Christian Moore was murdered, I'm like, man, y'all people out here killing again.
Yeah.
So the first thing they did was send him to see a psychiatrist. He thinks it's a conspiracy. He thinks he thinks it's this, he thinks it's that. And they ignored all of this, right?
Absolutely.
Well,
that's what they
I don't know how many murders he end up doing in between, but my attorney was like, man, you know, the current situation he's now locked up for, the charges are homicide, murder, first-degree premeditated, homicide, felony murder, felon in possession of a firearm, and he got like three other counts of felon in possession of a firearm. And the odd part about the situation is his co-defendant told them this guy is a mass murderer. So it ain't just what I'm saying. Now he got a co-defendant that's being charged mm-hmm. with him and saying this guy is a mass murderer. Because right now, as we speak, he's in the county jail fighting these murder charges. And it's and the odd part is they know, they've been new. Now he don't actually mm-hmm. get caught on it. And now that he don't get caught on it, it's like, we're going to continue on with your case. We're going to continue on with your case. We're going to continue on to take you all the way with this. So it's like, oh, wow. So this is how they realize. I said, okay, there's no problem at all. Because, see, the thing is this. A couple of the people that's on my case, this is why they don't want it. Me to bring it all out the way it is. There's a lot of people that's going to be freed.
Yeah.
Because yeah. of the errors that they know. These like one of the informants, I'm going to be honest, this is as of 2019, I come to find out, because they sent a letter to my attorney. And I okay. guess in so many words, they were saying, we're not going to listen to this person over this person, because this person already provided us with 4,963 pretty much provided that much information on different cases. Now, what I learned about this person is this person was under a whole new name, so they didn't give this person a whole new identity. You know, they just changed really the person's the spelling and gave him a new middle name.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah. But see, you know, the crazy part about it, you know, one thing about it, it kind of shocked them because I know how to do, like, cross-referencing for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I done dealt with you, so the point is, you done told me who your family is. So by
That's
me
right.
knowing who your family is, now I know how to cross-reference your whole name. No matter what mm-hmm. name they try to switch you up as having, you can be this person today. And we come out cases that goes from all through the country. I mean, you know, the sad part about it, even pulled up the paperwork with a Denver, Colorado, even said that this person is a danger to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we can't guarantee the safety of the community if this person is released. But yet this person was allowed to go throughout the country using different
mm-hmm.
names. I've kind of found out the cases them came up under this person's different names in Louisiana. Cases done popped
mm-hmm.
up out of Arizona under a different name. And so it's like from different, but it's all the exact same person. It's just
right.
a misspelling of the name. And we're going to send you in this state. You got to come testify, and you can go back to Detroit and assume this name again. And I'm like, as I'm looking this all up, I'm like, man, nah, this ain't right. This ain't right at all. I mean, you telling me y'all sending this person state to state just to destroy black families and all type of families?
Absolutely.
I mean, if it ain't, and to cover their tracks, y'all is even setting
mm-hmm.
people up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to, when you see, I had to take a few things out and put a few things in because I know how the government operate. They'll try to counteract anything.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to put everything within the video that I'm sending you because there's certain things within the paperwork that I done found. And before
uh-huh.
the trial, I don't want them to try to come up with a, how do we fumble on this? Or we cover mm-hmm. this part up or cover that part up. So it's certain things
and
that I said I'm not going
to. Remember this. All these murders these guys have committed, they're going to find somebody on the streets to give them that murder and they might even use the murderer as a witness against that person. That's
well,
how they say that they
you know,
saw him. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share something with you. When I got arrested, this was going to blow your mind.
Uh-huh.
So when I got arrested, and it took me to really put it together, because when they say, yeah, you shot somebody. I'm like, man, get out of here, man. Y'all on some BS now. Now y'all making up
mm-hmm.
stuff come out. I'm shot somebody. First, I'm a drug dealer. Now I'm shot somebody.
Yeah.
I said, so that's y'all reason for coming to have a shootout with me? That's what y'all reason to come and try to kill me so you can just put y'all story there? They was like, nah, you shot somebody in retaliation. I said, in retaliation for what? So yeah, they wouldn't really say the guy's name, but they was hinting around. And I knew the situation. I'm like, man, go on with that, man. Your informants did that. You know who did it. Don't you? That nice try. But this one ain't going to work today. I know who your people is. I know who ordered the murder. The whole damn community knows. So how can y'all sit there and try to put that one on me? Everybody know who ordered it, who carried it out. Come on, man. Go on with that nonsense, man. I say, nice try, but this one won't work today. So that's when they just kind of looked at me odd. Like, what the hell? Like, so one of the first things they did when they turned it over to the government was, I kind of found out they told the government and them, oh, this guy happens to know a whole lot. This is spooky type thing, you know, because he knows so much. Well, it ain't that I know it. It's common knowledge in the neighborhood. I mean, you know, Detroit ain't that big. So when we talking about an area of southwest Detroit, it don't take a, you know, rocket science. People talk. You know what I'm saying? So they get to saying, that's one of the reasons how I found out when he killed the other guy. Oh, man, send him to see a psychiatrist. Something going on here. Well, how is he?
Yeah,
pretty much what it is
he knows
how is he finding all of this out? And when that didn't work, of course, you know, eventually they let him out to continue killing. But he still has to come to testify in my case. So I wonder how this is really going to work. Because in my case, one of the things my attorney pointed out, he said, you know, normally they just have a CI number and go, he said, but in your situation is different. Everybody got to come back to court. I'm like, oh, beautiful. Because I asked for a speedy trial and I'm trying to figure out why I can't get it. What's the hold up?
If all of them got to come to court, he got to subpoena these guys. Because they may put them on the list and not call them.
Exactly.
You know.
That is
right.
Very, very true.
So right. They real clever. Especially if they don't want, especially the killer himself. They, you know, they don't want to call him. So, you know, put him on the stand knowing that he's a murder, probably murdered 10, 15 people. And the only thing you found out about it, and now what, you know, you better make sure your attorney subpoena all these people. Even though they subpoenaed them, you want to subpoena them too.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that issue up, right? Because one of the things that I told my attorney the last time we talked, I said, man, come on, man. You know what's going on. You know how. I said, how about this? I say, subpoena the entire federal grand jury. First, I was like, well, subpoena the girl. I said, this girl, they say, was living with me. I said, here you go, right here in the discovery. Now we come to find out that she's actually a part of the case. So, therefore, I say, how can, and they done told the federal grand jury, like, oh, no, she was just a roommate. She was just a roommate of his. I say, well, you get your roommate pregnant, you having sexual relations, which you see it blankly right here, and all of this. I say, come on, man. I say, what is y'all really went to a federal grand jury and came up with this elaborate lie? So he was like, well, you know, how we going to do it? I say, subpoena her. Subpoena everybody. He said, well, I don't know where she at. Do you know where she at? I'm like, listen, man, that's like trying to get me caught up in an obstruction of justice. I say, this is what we do. Subpoena the entire federal grand jury. Everybody that came, it don't matter who it was. Just say you want to subpoena the entire federal grand jury. The marshals know how to find them. I said, the Michigan State Police know how to find them.
I don't know whether you can subpoena the grand jury, though.
Okay, see, and that is, but when I told him specific people to subpoena, he was like,
the grand.
When I said subpoena specific people, he was like, I don't know how to do that. I don't think we can do that. He said, what address we going to send it to? And I said, well, send it to the address that they have listed on file. And I said, the marshals know how to find them. If you know you can look this person's name up, then subpoena them. I say, He wore an address. I can easily look it up off my phone. I mean, you're an attorney. You should be able to look it up. So he was pretty much like, I don't know how we're going to be able to go about that situation. So I was going up into some of the things that are affidavit. And I say, you see this, and all of this is all false. How is it that if somebody got a federal GPS tether on him, the U.S. Marshals is following him until he turns himself in? Even his wife even says that, no, he was not there and all that, neither was none of us. You can't even pull into an alley. They said I pulled into an alley behind his house. I said, that's impossible. I said, did y'all pay attention to the diagram of that neighborhood? There's townhouses on the corner. He was like, well, I make a long story short, Reverend Pinkler, I'm going to be honest. I kind of felt like I was talking to a prosecutor. I'm just going to be honest with you. And it was just like, man, it's like you're refuting everything I'm saying.
They all work together against you. They all work together against you. It's, they all officers of the court. You know, they're not there to get you out, you know. See, my attorney, I consider him to be a friend of mine, you know, but if you have to choose between me going down in the course of, I'm the one got to go down. That's how they operate. But look.
And that's what I'm seeing here.
Just about ran out of town, my brother. We'll get you next week. Let's talk some more. Same time, same station, my brother. Let's make this happen now. Let's because it's getting close to your time. So let's be ready for it.
Yes.
All right, now, on that note, we have just about ran completely.